Praise the Lord, everybody. This is Pastor Dallas, and I personally want to thank you for purchasing or receiving this CD. It is our hope and prayer that our ministry blesses and enriches your life in such a spectacular way that you can noticeably see a change in not just your life, but that change also has a way of impacting and affecting your entire family. We pray the Lord's blessings upon you continually. And as you listen to every word that comes through this CD message, we pray that you will see the transformation of the Lord and sense the power and anointing of the Lord as he was resonating in our fellowship. Now sit back and listen to this.
Amen. I'm going to ask if you would go with me in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah. And we're going to look at the 55th chapter, Isaiah 55, and we're going to look at verses 1 through 7. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We do thank God for this day. I'm going to ask if we will prepare today. You're going to prepare for our Lord's Supper. Amen. At the close of the message for this morning. Amen. So those of you who may be wherever you are at home, you might not have access to crackers and grape juice. But whatever you have that you can give, that you can show forth the Lord's death until he comes, you can prepare that. Amen. Amen. It might be a piece of bread, right, and some orange juice. But it's the heart of the thing that matters. Amen. Amen. So we want to prepare this afternoon for our time of communion. Amen. Isaiah 55. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 7. It says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. And he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come and buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and commander to the people. Behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." And I want to turn your attention to verse number 6. It says, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." And I'd like to use for a subject topic this morning, it is time to seek the Lord. Hallelujah. What does it mean to be a seeker of God? Sometimes when we think about one who is seeking God, we reduce it to one who is praying. But the scriptures reveal that seeking God is more than just praying. God also says that his people must seek his face, and then in seeking his face, call upon him. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says it like this, that if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. So it's a process for one that is seeking after the will of God. It involves prayer. It involves getting into that place where you're having communication with God. But it also includes humility. Because in order for you to receive and hear what God says, we have to be able to humble ourselves. So we have to have humility. We have to have an active prayer life that simply speaks to God, not in vain repetition, but we tell God the truth that he already knows what's going on the inside of us. And then we have to seek the face of God. Once we've prayed, we have to look for an answer. We have to look for a response. God has something to say concerning everything that concerns us. And then not only that, but we have to be willing to turn away from wickedness. When God reveals to us that there's something in us that needs to be worked out, we have to agree with him and work it out. Amen? The more we work out, the more he works in. We want to see God glorified in our lives. We have to let him work us out so that he can work himself in. God, I need to be able to see you more than I see myself. So in the midst of my circumstance, the reason that I will bless the Lord is because I'm trying to work out of me flesh so that he can deposit and work in me spirit. Hallelujah. So every born again Christian, watch this, should be a seeker of God. Should be. Because here's what God did. God graciously sought out unbelievers, and then by the Holy Spirit, he drew himself to us. In seeking and drawing unbelievers, God places a desire within our hearts to seek after him. We're not seeking God because we just have a mind to seek him. But we're seeking God because he gave us the will and the do. It's God who turns the hearts and the minds of man to seek after his will and plan for their lives. Ephesians 2, 1 through 10 says it like this. And you have he quickened while you were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversations. Tell your neighbor, we lived there one time. Right? We all had our conversations in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But this is what I like about God. He is a God that will turn things around in our lives. Because verse number 4 introduces another pattern. It introduces another way. It says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he has loved us. Look at this. God stepped in when we didn't even know that there was an end that needed to be stepped into. We were doing our thing, living our lives, but God looked down through his eyes of mercy. I'm so glad that the lenses that God wears are stained with the blood of Jesus Christ, and he sees mercy on us. We're in need of the mercy of God. He says, when we were in this state, his great love loved us. And while we were dead in sins, he quickened us together with Christ. And then it says, by grace are we saved. Not because we're born in the right family. Not because we have enough money. What God has given us, riches cannot buy. Doesn't matter how many sacrifices we try and sacrifice, there's nothing that can take away the stain of sin in our lives other than the blood of Jesus. I'm so grateful for the song that says, what can wash away my sins? And what can make me whole again? It's nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. He says that in the ages to come, that he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Jesus Christ. For by grace are we saved, through faith and not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's not what I do that saves me, but it's what he did. Thank God for what he did. We're always looking for him to do something else. But we've got to get to the point where we can say, I thank you for what you did already. Because if he had not worked, we would not be able to do anything else. So I thank you for what you did. Acts 17, 27 in the first part of 28 says that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far away from every one of us. For it's in him that we live, him that we move, and it's in him that we have our being. Therefore, it's vital for the believer to seek after God. It's vital. It's necessary. It's necessary for life for us to seek after God. Not what makes us feel good. God, because sometimes his answers don't line up with our will. But seeking God tells us that you still work all things out for good to them that love you and are called according to his purpose. What does that mean? Even when we don't get our way, God still works it for good. Even so, that means that God sometimes is willing to disappoint us to do his will. If we're disappointed but learned, then the will of God has been accomplished in our lives. I would rather be uncomfortable, but I would rather be in the will of God, learning the principles and the things of God, so that tomorrow I don't look the same way I did yesterday. Hallelujah. Thank God for causing all things to work together for good to them that love him and are called according to his purpose. The seeker of God is consumed by a desire in his life to have more of God. He is never spiritually satisfied, but always hungering. I need more. Look, not that we're trying to get more of God, but we're trying to die more to ourselves so that we can see him in his fullness. Hallelujah. God is not piecemealing grace to you. All things that pertain to life and godliness has already been provided. We just need to recognize it. It's not God that's moving slow. It's us that's moving slow. And as we seek God, what he does is gets us out of the way. I need to recognize enough of me to know when I need to die. You know, do you know that everything that you go through in life, you can justify your position? Pretty much, right? Every argument, you've got a position in it. And typically, the position that you take is the one that's going to cause you to come out better. And that's just the truth anyway. That's the truth. I was having a conversation with an employee this past Friday, and they said, I just don't understand that. I said, because it doesn't benefit you. Typically, we don't want to understand what's going to make us struggle. All right. It's the truth anyhow. I didn't get a lot of amens, but y'all going to amen it later when y'all start going through something and it ain't changing because you're crying. Tears don't change God's mind. He wipes them from your eyes. so that the joy of the Lord becomes your strength. I wish Ayana and Alyssa would start crying right now about some nonsense that they used to cry about when they were babies. You tell your neighbor, you full grown now. You've grown up a little bit. Right? Some of them, I have to tell them, listen, hold, stop, wait. Give time out. Before you had use of the English language, I would let you cry and I would try to figure it out. But once you learn how to communicate, stop all that whining and crying and talk to me. This is what God wants for his people. Stop crying and whining. Go into the presence of God where he wants you to be, because it's there in his presence with his pleasures forevermore. God wants you in his presence. Communicating with him, seeking after what, and then once you seek him, be quiet long enough to listen. Sometimes we don't want to go in the presence of God because we don't ready. We're not ready. We don't want to hear. We're not ready to hear what God has to say. I've had enough experience with God to know that when I ask a question, he's going to give me an answer. And sometimes it might not be favorable for Rod, because sometimes God tells Rod, you're wrong. Am I talking to anybody other than myself? God will deal. When you seek God, he deals with you. But you know what? I thank God that he deals justly. Y'all should have got some hand claps right there. Because you might be in pain, but because how God loves us, he will bind up that brokenhearted. Right? He's still right there. You're never by yourself. No matter what it is that you're going through, yea, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. You ever felt so alone that you, God, would anybody ever ask God where he was? Your situation will sometimes be so severe that it causes you to forget that the eyes of the Lord are in every place. Sometimes. But when you seek God, God will cause you to back up to you, so that you will allow him to come to the forefront. Amen? Amen. So a seeker of God is consumed by a desire in his life to have more of God. He is never spiritually satisfied, always hungering and thirsting for more of God. He is overwhelmed by a zeal for God. Matthew 5 and 6 says it like this: blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for he shall be filled. There is the righteousness of God comes from a reservoir that is so deep and so expansive that we will never get to the point where we are so full that there's not room for more. Hallelujah. This is how God has created us to be. We can receive more of him, but we've got to be willing to get ourselves out. It's like if you want more water, take the ice cubes out. We cold in some areas. We want more. God fill me up, but we full of coldness and hardness. Right? Get the ice cubes out of your life so that he can pour more. You have the capacity to handle more. When the ice cubes of the vicissitudes of life have been removed from us. God, just fill me up. I'm seeking after, I'm chasing after. I want you more than I want stuff, and I want you more than I want people. I want you more than anything. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You have to do that. It's got to be an act of your will. Seeking God has to be an act of your will. Say that. It's an act of my will. It's an act of my will. It's an act of my will. It has to be an act of your will. And you have to present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Then don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. When you spend time in the presence of God, he will renew your mind. This is why it's important to be in a place where you can hear the word of God, because your mind should be being renewed daily. We go through enough stuff on a day-to-day basis where we need to get the filth out of our minds. This is why we have to be a daily seeker of God. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Seek the Lord early. Call on him while he is near. While the grace of God is here, we've got to seek him, because the world will inculcate, will try and inculcate some stuff in your mind and make you think that it's spiritual when it's humanistic. Yeah. I just heard that the Council of Bishops rejected a bishop because he sat on a council with some homosexual people, trying to say that that's going to be the next move of God in the church. The council was right to not accept him in the council, because all unrighteousness is still sin. But I don't care how much acceptance the world takes to this thing, we still have a responsibility to call right, right, wrong, wrong. No, y'all should be clapping for righteousness. But here's the thing. The argument can't be y'all only care about that. All unrighteousness is sin. The church just don't need to deal with homosexuality, but it's also when you're promiscuous, when you're adulterous, when you're a liar, when you're a thief, backbiting and disrupting and destroying the fiber and the integrity of the church, when you behind the secret desk and you sleeping with the poor, with the people in the pew, that's wrong too. It's all got to be considered. We got to deal with all of it. When you seek God, God will show you. Don't just categorize stuff, but you got to call sin, sin. Call right, right. Call wrong, wrong. There's a school district in Michigan that's getting ready to introduce restroom facilities. It's a middle school that are non-gender. It's just the restroom for whosoever wills. Girls can go in there, and the boys can go in there. And we are sitting around. Well, you know, people born this way. When you don't seek God, you will make peace with unrighteousness. Right? You will call what that which is wrong, that which God abhors, you will call that the right thing to do. But God still has something to say to the church. Did you know that churches in Canada, pastors in Canada who speak out about sin are being shut down? We're not talking about Europe. We're not talking about Asia. We're talking about North America. Please understand, we only separated by a body of water. That's all that separates us, is a body of water. And we have to make sure that we are standing on the right side, right? When God gave me this word, he told me just to keep reminding you guys, I don't care how rough it gets, keep seeking God, right? God has something to say. People should look at Christianity and see that he is seeking something more than just temporary pleasure. It don't matter whether we shout or not. That's not an indication of someone's heart for God. Hallelujah, right? Seeking power and popularity and money and all of these things in this life should be a secondary consequence in the life of the believer. What comes first for us is and always should be our drive and seeking after the things of God. We know the scripture all too well. Matthew 6 and 33, it says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And what? His righteousness, right? And then all these things will be added unto you, right? So what do we seek? We seek God. In all of the noise of life, we seek God. The pandemic had us seeking for hand sanitizer and masks and Lysol spray and toilet paper. Y'all remember you was getting to this grocery store when it opened, running old people down with your cart? I'm just saying. Out searching. Don't go there because they don't have what you're looking for. Running all around, seeking just to be okay. How much more should we seek God? We are always in a spiritual pandemic. There's always a war going on between the spirit and your flesh. Your flesh is always trying to take preeminence over your spirit, man. Your flesh is always trying to cause you to move out on every emotional outburst that it wants to have to make you feel good for the moment. So we cannot afford to stop seeking God, not even for a moment. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So I'm going to give you some things that we need to seek after. Number one, we need to seek after the precepts of God. Right? The precepts of God, these are his moral and spiritual commands. The precepts of God involve the ways that we are to live as Christians while we're on the earth. There are still standards. There are still expectations. Paul would not have preached 2/3 of the New Testament about holiness if holiness wasn't important. And holiness involves more than wearing suits and dresses. But when I want to fight you, I need to be holy. When I really want to cut you, we have some knife wielding people. When I want to shoot you, when I want to cuss you out, I have to choose holiness. It's still a requirement. I can't cuss you out and then try and pray scripture over you at the same time. The Bible still says that bitter water and sweet water don't flow from the same fountain. So I have to continuously seek him so that holiness can be what flows out of me. I'm back in the gym, and I have not been able to walk down the steps without pain and walk up the steps without pain. I have not been able to get into my car or get out the car with saying, oh, Jesus, or help me, Lord. I need your help. But you know, because I'm exercising, I feel some restraint. Y'all ain't gonna say nothing to me. I have to walk a little carefully because I'm exercising. When you're exercising in the spirit, it will make you walk carefully. You just won't go galloping down those steps, down those marketplaces of sin like you used to. It makes you kind of, whoa, I can't walk that way. Whoa, let me hold on and let me not. I got to watch how I step, because if I step wrong, I might fall out. And now unto him who is able to keep me from falling, I got to watch my step. So I'm seeking him. I'm not just seeking him to come in here and tell y'all. I pray an hour a day, every day at 7 o'clock in the morning. I talk to God for 3 hours and I pray in tongues every day. My seeking of God don't cause me to keep tabs. Because it don't make sense for you to pray every day, all day, and still come out acting like a hellion. There's nothing worse than a saint who mean as hell. You got to come out with some results. Right? When you ain't acting right, you're seeking God, spending time in his presence, you should come out with a list of instructions. For you. Not for how somebody else could treat you better. But how you can be in a bad situation and still act right. Yeah. Because there are still requirements and expectations. Hallelujah. I'm seeking to live the precepts of God. Psalm 119:45, and it says, "And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts." What it's saying is, I'm walking in a wide place of God's provision. Right, I'm not closed in. I'm walking in freedom. I'm walking in true kingdom freedom when I'm walking in God, when I'm choosing the precepts of God over the dictates of my heart. Sometimes we get to check our hearts at the door. Sometimes I have such rough days at work that I have to go through a ritual before I get home so I can act and treat her right. Because I want, when I go home, I don't want what I have experienced to cause me to treat my wife wrong. You can't treat everybody wrong just because you're having a hard life. Check your emotions at the door and put on the Spirit of God. She need a mighty man of valor, not some cussing fool. I'm just trying to help somebody, right? So, in other words, we can choose to stay right how we feel and walk there, or we can allow the benefits of being in the presence of God to transform our thinking, right? I want my mind to be renewed. I want my mind to be transformed. And like we were saying in worship, it's an act of your will. I wish I had some props, right? Because God is not going to take a paper clip and clip your lips so you won't talk. He's not going to take power from your arms when you want to fight somebody. He's not. When you want to do wrong, he is not going to stand in the way. Oh, wait. Don't do it. I'm going to take power out your legs. It's got to be an act of your will. You seeking God. What are you seeking? Where's the benefits of what you saw? So what? You know how many books there are in the Bible. So what? You can quote scripture. When life hits you, do a scripture come up in your mind? Because life gonna hit you right smack dab in the middle of your eyes. And then look at you and say, and what you gonna do? What you gonna do? When you seek God, you recognize I'm left with a decision. I could be me, or I could let the benefits of what I sought come to the forefront. Amen. I hope I'm helping somebody than more than just me, because I'm preaching good to myself. Hallelujah. Matthew 22 and 37 says, Master, which is the greatest law of the commandments? And Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. This is the first and great commandment, but then it didn't stop there. And it says, this is the second one that's just like the first one that says, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. See, we sometimes will just say, love my neighbor. But the part that we got to remember is the as yourself part. I ain't never seen yourself cussing yourself out. I ain't never seen yourself punching yourself in the face. Right? I've never seen yourself intentionally trying to do bodily harm. There are people that will cut themselves, but do you know that that's something wrong with them? So if you wouldn't hurt you, why are you hurting them? If you seek in God the way that the scripture gives you to seek, you're going to think twice about how you treat people. I have been going through a series of tests. I'm not even going to call them attacks. They're tests at my job, because I believe that what God is trying to do in me is to increase spiritual integrity. Sometimes there are tests that we go through because God is trying to increase us. So don't pray away the method that God is using to increase you. Because in the middle of the process of increase, he wants you to humble yourself and seek him. Oh my God. I told my wife Helen, I said, I thank God that I'm listening to him with greater clarity than what I did. But I'm telling you, it's something about this fast that happened this year that took off some roadblocks from my spiritual eyes and my spiritual ears, and it allowed me to see myself clearer than I thought. You know, I thought that I was more mature in some areas. I thought I was here, but I thank God for the test that's keeping the rubber on the road so that I won't get self-righteous. And I told her, I said, I thank God for this test. I thank God for what he's doing, because my conscience is clear. Because I've got a heart to do what is pleasing in the sight of God. So I'm going to follow these rules because God is holding me accountable. The only thing I can see is this flat screen TV when I stand before the Father. And I have to give an account. Watch this. For every deed. Think about it soberly. This is why you got to have a sober mind when you're living for God. You can't be inebriated and then walk away with good thoughts. You got to be sober in your mind. Think about this. Every deed. Let that marinate. Let the urgency and the clear understanding of what every deed means. It means that not one thing of 1 second of one day is going to be skated over when you stand before God. So when you seek God, he'll tell you to slow your roll. Think before you act with a spiritual mind. Watch this. You might be justified in how you feel, but because you seek God, you still have to seek his answer. Do you know you might be right, but you might have to apologize? Because when you seek God, he will show you the bigger picture. It's not about you. You trying to win this battle and you about to lose the war because you can't humble yourself. I'm not going to be able to get all the way through all of it. I got a lot of message. I'm telling you, God has been dealing with me for weeks on this. And I'm just giving you out of the what he has been killing me with. I think that he took some of my height. I'm not that tall, but he has cut a few inches off of my height because he's been killing me. Oh, you seek me, but you keep doing this. You, if you're seeking me, how you thinking this? You said you want more of me to be living in you, but that's all you right there, buddy. You see, God, that's how God don't talk to me. Thou son of Larry. He talked to me real. Be quiet. Close it. Don't say anything. He told me this morning, stand still. That's all he said. I knew. I wasn't even talking to him at the moment. He just popped up in a conversation and said, stand still. And do you know my spirit man connected with those two words? And I knew everything he was talking about. All right, Lord. I got to learn how to stand still. I know, because Rod is tired. Rod tired of having to take the high road. Rod is tired of apologizing when he ain't did nothing wrong. Rod is tired of having conversations with people who trying to say that you did things and they have no merit, no basis, no understanding, no examples, no anything. But I'm wrong, though. But okay. God, I'm going to give you all of me. And because it's not so much what I just do here. Right? We all going in the same direction, or at least we should be. But it's people out there. And the only Christ they see is the Christ in us. Right? Hallelujah. All right, let me move on. John 14 and 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. So the love of God shows the grace of God. So because we have the grace of God, he teaches us to seek him and then tells us the greatest thing that we can do is to love him. And then our love is an evidence of our love that we have for him, and keeping his commandments is the evidence of how much we love him. I can't be disobedient to what you say and love you at the same time. The Holy Ghost in us is coming for every word. Every word. The Bible speaks and it is true. And the Holy Spirit in us is the revealer of truth. And it comes after every word that God has spoken. Right? So if you love me, keep my commandments. It's basic, but it's right. This is the last one I'm going to give. This is number two. The other thing that seeking God does is it reveals to us the righteousness of God. Right? What is the righteousness of God? It's that we might be holy as he is holy. And that we might be transformed to the image of his son. Watch this. Hosea 10 and 12 says it like this. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, and you're going to reap in mercy. If you are reaping something that is not mercy, don't get mad at the harvest. Go back and check your seed. I thought that was an apple tree. No, bro. Those was pears. Did you check your seed? I should have been getting kindness. Wait a minute. But you can't sow evil and get kindness. Sow to the wind. What you gonna get? A whirlwind. Sow to the flesh. What you gonna get? Corruption. But if you sow to the spirit, you're going to reap life. Right? Stop going out burning your harvest. You messed up at seed time. Check your seed. There's a message, and I'm done. I can't go get to the other ones. I'm going to be up here all day. That's just number two. There's a message that I heard Apostle Mitchell preach, and he was talking to men, and he said, a woman has the ability to take the seed that you give her, turn it upside down, cause it to come forth in you. She births out of her the seed that was placed within her. And then he went further and said, but that's just a type of seed time and harvest. He said, whatever it is that you sow in your marriage, she has the ability to turn that thing over, cause it to grow, and will produce that seed that you have given unto her. Then he said, but I don't want you just to take this home. I want you to take this to your job. And I want you to take this to your family. And I want you to take this everywhere you go. Whatever it is that you sow, that thing will be reproduced and given back to you. Here's how the Lord challenged me. Some of what you are facing right now is because you wouldn't give me your attitude. And if you had have given me your attitude, you wouldn't be facing some of the things that you're facing now. I had to stand there in this conversation with God and remember the times when I heard him say, cool your jets, and I turned up the fire. When he said, don't say anything, and I said something anyway. When he said, walk away, and I fully engaged. God will cause, see, don't forget, I'm telling you, when you seek God, he's going to bring back all these things back to your remembrance. Yeah. Don't get mad at your harvest. Check your seed. Amen.
Thank you for listening to TGT Speaks, our multimedia voice emanating from the True Gospel Tabernacle Church of Detroit. You can subscribe to us at TGT Podcast on iTunes, Google Play Music, and Spotify. If you like TGT Podcast, we'd love for you to subscribe, rate, and give us a review. And also, if you would like to donate to our ministry, you can visit our website at www.tgtchurch.org and give your tax-deductible donation through PayPal. We really appreciate the generous and tangible love gift of any monetary denomination from our friends and partners. And we commit that your love gift enables us to continue furthering the gospel message of Jesus Christ. Thank you for your support, and we'll see you next week.